spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hi!
Hola!
Welcome back to the program. We're so excited. Lots to dive into this week.
I can tell how excited you are there, Katie.
Can we talk about the celebrity stalker stuff? Because I don't know if we've talked about this with you before, but it's so prevalent right now with Taylor Swift and this guy who has been arrested trying to, like, break into her apartment for what, like, the third day in a row or something.
It's
like
terrible.
That. And it's like they book him, they release him. Where's the first place he's going to go? They really don't care. Is that kind of the vibe of the NYPD?
Okay, well, let me give you an example, okay? If you think that that's bad, and I know that you're very, oh, Taylor, we have to talk about Taylor all the time.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Put that on my tombstone.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
I'm going to remember you said that.
That is the most accurate description of Katie that has ever been said.
There is a guy who broke into Ariana Grande's home. Into her home.
Right.
Almost 100 times.
Almost 100?
Almost 100 times. And it was basically did this between February of a year and September of a year. Okay? 7 months, 100 times. And into her home. And was sentenced to, like, 3 years in jail.
Wow.
For 100 times.
100 times before he got that way. And it was just like, she's got a 5-year restraining order and stuff like that. And get this. So when he gets out of jail, basically, he can't see her for 10 years. But after 10 years, he's allowed to go stalk her again.
Nice.
What?
But what is that? What, is that going to stop him?
Probably not. Because here's the thing, he got arrested. I mean, he got charged with criminal threats and stalking and stuff. But until you do, like, it's just how much are you going to make bail, right? How much can you make bail for somebody who's like, especially with the Taylor Swift one, they're out front of her house, but they're not breaking in.
Right,
yeah. Right.
And it's separate people. So Okay, you're out in front of the house. Okay, well, yeah, we'll go arrest him or whatever. And what kind of bail are we going to do? $500? So, you know, it's just like, okay, where are you going to go? I'm going to go back out there because that's where my stuff is or that's where I want to be. And until you actually do something where you cross a line,
mm-hmm.
you're just not, there's nothing that's going to happen to you. And it's horrible.
Yeah, it's very, like,
whenever
reactive.
Somebody says, oh, three people, all I say is, look, 92 times that guy broke into Ariana Grande's house.
And they knew, like, they must know. We were talking about this off the air. Like, the intention is obviously not good, right? Like, Melissa said, it's not like they're showing up to, like, pet their dogs and cats and stuff. Like, we know what this intent is. It's implied. So how can they just be so kind of,
yeah,
like, blasé about it after 92 times?
Yeah, I mean, but it just... That's how long it takes. And you got to realize that as much as there's the stalking and stuff, it hardly ever turns out to be like a Rebecca Schaefer kind of situation, right?
What was that?
Remind people of what that was.
Okay, well, Rebecca Schaefer was on a show called My Sister Sam with Pam Dauber, who's married to Mark Harmon, and she was killed by a stalker.
Oh, okay.
And
oh my God.
She was 21, I think, so she was on this hugely popular, you know, network television show, and this guy just, you know, killed her. There's another one, Teresa Saldana is a famous case. She lived, but she was also attacked. But it doesn't happen that often. That's the thing. So it's really hard to get restraining orders against people just based on their actions. There has to be some kind of credible threat. You know, you said, oh, we know that they have this intent or whatever. do they have this intent? And then don't forget, like, people like Alec Baldwin have slept with their stalker. Emil Hirsch dated one of the stalkers for two years.
Right.
Very interesting flip side.
Yeah.
I don't know. If someone tried to break into my house 95 times and succeeded some of the times, like, they probably wouldn't be alive and I would probably be in jail.
Yeah.
And well, and also, I mean, this was not just like her house in LA, Ariana's. It was also her house in Santa Barbara. So, I mean, this was certainly somebody who had, you know, bad intentions.
Mm-hmm.
The Taylor Swift one, you know, and she's got a lot of security and stuff and everything. So, but Taylor Swift has had somebody break into her house and took a nap in her bed.
Yeah. She didn't he like take a shower
yes.
and sleep in her bed? And that was at her New York City apartment, right?
Yeah.
That's so creepy.
And, yeah, and that's terrible.
Part of this too, Auntie, we're talking about how, you know, publications will, they will publish addresses of celebrities so you can go and see the real estate and stuff like that. Like, maybe that law needs to change. Like, do we need to know where these people live? I don't know. It just,
I mean,
it seems so unsafe.
Okay. They figure it out.
All right. So here's the thing. So like, if you go to LA and you go to like a star tour or whatever,
Most of the time,
it's people who don't actually live in those houses anymore. It's, oh, you know, this was the film, this was the house for Nightmare on Elm Street. This is, the apartments that they use for Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is whatever. This is Frank Sinatra's old house, things like that.
Yeah.
It's very rarely where somebody actually lives.
Right.
Now, Emma Stone, like, her house just sold last week, and when there are real estate listings, most of the time, it doesn't say that it's Emma Stone's house until after it's sold.
Okay.
Yeah, because it goes through like an LLC, right?
Well, okay. Now you're getting into something else. Okay, so most actors and actresses have either an LLC or they have a trust. Mm-hmm. Like Angelina Jolie has a Angelina Jolie Family Trust, but most people have an LLC. It's like their carve-out company that they use to get paid for when they're filming a role or something, because it's better for tax purposes than having a check made out directly to Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that LLC will also purchase the house, but not always. But it doesn't matter if it's an LLC or whatever. Somebody goes, oh, that's, you know, Emma Stone's house and stuff. It's much easier, obviously, to find out where somebody lives nowadays because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, you know, like with Emma's house, they don't say, oh, it's, you know, so-and-so's or it's an actress's house or whatever. But after it's sold, then they go, oh, Emma Stone's house, which she listed like 10 days ago. But also sometimes actors and actresses, if they want their house sold, they'll say, oh, please go ahead and say my name.
Right. Okay.
Oh.
Because then it gets more interest.
Sure.
And then people are willing to pay a premium because of the fact that it was Emma Stone's house.
Has by the way, has she asked about me lately?
No, she hasn't. I'm sorry.
I know she's friendly.
Busy being Oscar nominated, yeah. Producer and actress.
She's a little busy. God.
She's a little bit busy. But also, you know, because of how it is, like say somebody like Josh Allen or whatever, who doesn't really have an LLC, he's a quarterback of the Bills.
Right.
Everybody knows where his house is. And part of the thing is with him especially is his house. It's just, it feels like very suburban because he's got a neighbor on one side, a neighbor on the other side. It's not like tucked away in Bel Air or something like that. It's just, here you go. Here's his house. Here's the neighbor's house and stuff. And so they go, oh, who's my neighbor? Josh Allen. You know, it just gets out.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was visiting a friend in LA and he was pointing out all the houses in a neighborhood that he had to go to like help someone out. And it was just kind of like, well, there's so-and-so's house. There's so-and-so's house. And it's not like there was a crowd of people standing outside of it.
It's not like you can keep it private. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I just always thought it'd be so weird to be a celebrity and then to see a bus of people go by your front window like every half hour and they're all taking pictures of it. It just seems so strange.
But it's not like that because they're really generally talking about older houses because people move. And most celebrities rent their homes rather than buy them.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
There's a street in L.A. where at one point, this is not true now, but like Keanu Reeves had the house in the corner. And then if you walked five houses down and across the street, Jessica Alba lived there. And if you stayed on that same side of the street and walked down three more houses, that's where Tom Cruise lived. So, you know, it's just they all live on one street. And but Keanu's was just a normal kind of, you could walk up and ring the front doorbell kind of thing. Jessica's was the same thing. You could just walk down the street and ring the doorbell. Tom Cruise's was different. Tom had bought the house kind of directly across the street from his, and he was on this huge lot with woods and security cameras and security people, and it was like several acres, which was completely different from the character and the makeup of the rest of the street, which was just like, okay, yeah, these are nice houses or whatever, but it's basically you can just walk up and knock on the door and sell Girl Scout cookies.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
I always think about the flip side, and you don't hear about many, well, psycho celebrities crash into actors' homes, like men's homes. The guys just seem to sleep with them.
Yeah.
Hey, you like me. I like me.
Yeah.
Let's you like me a lot, and I like you a little bit. Yeah. So let's make it happen.
All right, cool. Jeez. Enty, with the Oscars on the way and the biggest news being the snub of the Barbie movie in almost every way possible.
Which you did kind of warn us about.
The patriarchy side of it with Ryan Gosling. is America Ferrera going to win?
I was really happy she got nominated.
Same.
Because I felt like I think she was one of the better parts of the Barbie movie. I think that everybody's upset that Margot wasn't nominated for actress, but let me take you through this for a second. She wasn't going to win if she was nominated, because comedy actresses never win. Mm-hmm. The only time they'll win is in a supporting actress kind of situation, like with Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny or something.
Right.
Like
okay. Right. Okay.
So she could have been nominated as an actress and she would have gone, and she wouldn't have won just like the last time when she didn't win. It would have been also like a Kristen Stewart thing, who everybody knew. I mean, Kristen Stewart knew she wasn't going to win. She took off her heels the second she got off the red carpet, handed them to an assistant, and did not have, if she had won, she would have gone up in her bare feet. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how much she knew that she was not going to win. So is it important to be, you know, nominated and all that? Margot Robbie is nominated as a producer for the best picture, which to me is better than best actress.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So she gets to go up. She will win an Academy Award for best picture if Barbie wins. It won't win, but at least she will do that. Emma Stone also is the first actress ever to be nominated for best actress and producer for a movie. So when she wins best actress, which she will, she'll go and get the award. And then will she win for best picture? I don't know. But I mean, it's just amazing that so when you talk about the patriarchy, you're saying, okay, well, what about Emma? Emma's not the first person, the first woman ever to be nominated for best actress and also a producer. Right. So if Margot had been nominated, then two of them at the same time, that's great. Greta Gerwig, she's got a lot of anti from voters and stuff just because of her personal history.
Which is what?
So, she and her and Noah Baumbach, who wrote the script together, they got together when Jennifer Jason Leigh was like 8 months pregnant. And that was Noah's wife at the time. And Jennifer Jason Leigh is an Oscar winner. And Jennifer Jason Leigh comes from a long, you know, history of, actors. Vic Morrow was her dad. So it just like everybody's Greta, and nobody really likes Greta that much. And they definitely don't like that situation. And so she knew this in advance, which is why she tried to get her screenplay go from original screenplay to adapted screenplay. She was never going to win best director ever.
Right.
I love how only certain people in Hollywood, like when they, break up a marriage or something like that, they get in trouble for it, and people don't like them for it, but other people, it's okay if they do it.
Yeah. And here's the thing, is that the Oscars, there's not a huge number of voters. Okay. And it's not like the Screen Actors Guild, which has many, many tens of thousands of voters.
Right.
Yeah.
The Oscars is much, much, much more limited. I mean, crazy limited. And the thing is, a lot of the Oscar voters are really super old. So they don't even see most of the things. And like some 85-year-old guy is not going to vote for Barbie. And there are a shocking number of 85-year-olds who are, you know, voters. But they don't even vote themselves. They just give it to their kids or something and let them vote.
But then by that metric, wouldn't Barbie win?
I'm saying like some of them let their kids vote.
Oh, okay.
But just look at the winners of the Oscars for Best Picture. You go, I didn't see that. I had no desire to see that. I don't want to see that. Which is why, you know, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago at the Golden Globes. They tried at one point to say, okay, well, let's include like 10 movies and stuff just so people will think that Avengers has a chance to win, even though it won't. But maybe people will watch the ceremony. But like Greta Gerwig, she has this whole promotional campaign. She was supposed to be on the cover of Vogue because everybody thought that she was going to be nominated. So I'm more anxious to see, okay, well, what is Vogue going to do now? What is their, you know, headline going to be? Because the votes, even though we had the nominations 2 days ago, the voting doesn't take place until the end of February.
Okay.
So, like from February 22nd to the 27th. So that's why everybody will just, you know, hey, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. And if you come to LA at this time of the year, it's just like,
for your consideration
and stuff.
That's the Oscar
campaign. Maestro is pretty much covering all of the buses right now and the billboards.
Wow. Okay, we got.
Wait a second. Sorry, did you answer if America Ferrera is going to win or not?
I hope that she does. I really do hope that she does. I really think that she gave a great performance, and it's tough because. It depends. You got to have kind of a role. And the reason I say that is when you think about that the thing doesn't happen until February 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
So between now and then, you have SAG Awards, you have you have DGA, you have Writers Guild, you have Producers Guild, just all these other kind of things. She's got a great chance. Jodie Foster's not going to win. Emily Blunt's not going to win. Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers has a really good chance. I think it's between Divine Joy Randolph and America Ferrera.
Ooh.
So it kind of depends who starts winning in all the other things. And everybody goes, oh, they won. And so then they fill out their ballot on February 22nd, and they go, oh, well, this person won 10 times, so it must be a good movie, even though I've never seen The Holdovers.
So it kind of depends on how good their campaigns are between now and...
Their billboards.
It's not even campaign. It's how did they win? So people ask me, okay, so is Cillian Murphy like a lock for best actor?
For Oppenheimer,
But I don't think he's a lock. I actually think that Paul Giamatti is going to win.
Oh, interesting.
So, because I think that Paul Giamatti is going to, he's been winning and stuff, so I think that he's just going to keep winning. But because Oppenheimer came out so long ago, and I think that his votes are going to be a little bit divided with, you know, Bradley Cooper and Maestro and stuff, but I think that everybody loves Paul Giamatti. He's been around forever, and I just think that he has been winning at award shows so far.
Right.
And I just think that he's going to continue to do so. And Emma's going to win. But, you know, congratulations to Lily Gladstone for being the first, you know, Native woman ever to be nominated.
Yeah, that is
amazing.
And
it's shocking to me that it took this long because, obviously Natives are a minority, but it felt like, really? Nobody?
Yeah, so, to see an Indigenous woman on that list was really incredible. And then to not see Leo nominated for once was also kind of refreshing because I feel like he's always in the category. Anyway, let's talk about the big comeback of the musical world this week. Our good old buddy, old pal, Justin Timberlake. He has a new album coming. It seems like he's kind of returning to pop music. Now, I have this theory that this first single he released, Selfish, because it's like kind of this mid-tempo, sort of like lovey, softer thing. I'm like, is this... maybe not what was the first choice for a single, but to sort of soften his image and like gain back people's love and like for him. Do you think that maybe they were like, put this song
out? Yeah, because it is like a love song.
It's
kinda,
like a very soft, look at how romantic I am. Foshes kind of thing.
Foshes.
I, This album, I don't think, is going to do very well.
Really?
And yeah, that's just me, because it's been so much time, right? So he needs to have a big hit. He needs to have, like, a Mirrors. He needs to have, you know, Suit and Tie kind of thing.
Right.
And it's kind of like when Jennifer Lopez comes out with something, nobody cares anymore, right? Because it's been too long. And she thinks that she's, you know, Jennifer Lopez of, you know, 15 years ago, and it's not. And I just, Justin Timberlake, yes, he keeps relevant with, you know, basically, you know, trolls or something like that. My problem with Selfish is that I think that, so he tried to do a whole album without Timbaland, okay?
Right.
And that wasn't working.
Right.
But I think what he decided was, look, I'm going to prove to you guys that I don't need Timbaland, so I'm going to do Selfish, which Timbaland doesn't have a writing credit on. And I think that that was his whole thing. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, being a love song or anything like that. I think it's a, let me, you know, show you the label that I don't really need Timbaland to do this.
Okay.
That's what I kind of think. And anytime that there is a song with that has 5 writers on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a song that's 3.5 minutes or something like that. Then I go, okay, this is not going to be a great song.
Mm.
You know, it's just,
interesting.
It's just 5 people and none of them are Timbaland.
Right. There's a lot of language about how people think that this song should have gone to Justin Bieber and how it still would be kind of bad, but it would be less disappointing.
Yeah. I think that, you know, and you know, he's got publicists and there's like, oh, Justin Timberlake's showing how vulnerable he is and everything like that.
Yeah.
You got to realize, you know, how old is Justin Timberlake now? He's 42 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, he's not the people who, and it's very problematic. And I have this conversation all the time with people that, would you go see a Justin Timberlake concert? I'm like, yeah, you know, I would.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay a lot, but I would go see him in concert.
Yeah, like if you got them free, you wouldn't say no.
Like, if you ask me, oh, yeah, I'm not spending $60 or $70, sure, I would go see him. But there's like this limit in my mind about, okay, I'm not, you know, how much I'm going to pay. And like if it's Taylor Swift, I go, well, how much do I got to pay? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's different. It's like, am I going to have to pay more than like $300 to go see Taylor? So it just in your head, you're like, okay, who's more important to go see in life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I regret not seeing Justin and Jay-Z when they were together. Yes.
Yeah, I will say I saw JT on the 2020 tour, not the one with Jay-Z, but the original one. And it was a good show. Like that was kind of like at his peak performing career,
I think.
Forgot
they toured
together. It was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 6 years since this guy released a single.
I mean, and a lot of stuff has happened. And it's like, are millennials going to forgive him for, you know, everything that was revealed in the Britney book.
Everything that he did in the Britney stuff. And I'm not, look, I'm not sure that he and Jessica Biel are going to be together by the end of February.
What?
So, you know, they've been selling off all their properties and everything, which is always
a sign. Do you think
always a sign.
With his, publicity tour happening this weekend, like, you know, with the Jimmy Fallon, and then he's going to be on SNL tomorrow. Are they going to poke fun at the Britney stuff at all? Like, is he going to be in any sketches, or is he just going to stay silent and let the music speak for itself?
Yeah, let it speak.
You know, has he been on SNL since Jimmy Fallon left? It was like when he would go on with Jimmy Fallon, like every single skit, it seems like they would do together.
Right. That's right.
And
well, because they're so funny
and there were
and
certain
besties.
Things that they always did together. Yeah, I know. And so I wonder if, if we're going to see Jimmy Fallon, like, on Saturday Night Live, like, in a couple of sketches, just to have old things. Because Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon did, like, a certain thing over and over. And
bring
it
on
down
to
Omelette.
That and the Bee Gees, right?
Yeah,
they did the Bee Gees.
It's been 11
years.
The
Bee Gees and all that. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a good way. If you go back and you could do, like, Bee Gees and make everybody, like, happy for you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And when's the last time Justin Timberlake actually went out and did publicity for anything either? Because when he was on his TV show or whatever, that's when he was sleeping with the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't go do any publicity. And so it's been a long time since he actually had to make the rounds of talk shows and stuff, other than, say, for Trolls. But with Trolls, it's, you know, it's an animated movie. So how much are you really doing it, you know, publicity for? And Trolls is basically about the music rather than, you know, the plot.
Sure.
He has done some press, like he's doing some free shows, but you know that everyone's been told not to ask about the Britney book because nobody has.
Faux shiz. My favorite thing to come out of 2023.
I just thought it was interesting. Like, he went to Memphis to go do this thing, and you know, he has his, what was the show he had with his Tennessee Boys or something, but he never goes to Memphis. It's not like he's, it's just like, oh, you know, I gotta go back to my roots or something, so I'm gonna go do a show in Memphis. But even though I haven't been to Memphis in like 6 years.
Yeah, that was a weird era, that whole Man of the Woods. It was weird.
It only brought us a good pair of Jordans, and that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, speaking of SNL, you had a blind reveal that implied that Tina Fey hates Lindsay Lohan.
What?
Yeah, I mean, okay, look, Tina Fey hates a lot of people. So Lindsay Lohan, you can just add her to the list. But in Mean Girls, the musical, the movie, which is different than High School Musical,
right.
The musical, the series,
right.
It is the, it's an awful movie. Don't go spend any money to go see it. Number two is that you say, hey, Lindsay, you want to have a little cameo in this thing? Oh, I'd love to, because I've been talking about it for literally like 15 years between this and Freaky Friday. It's great. Come. By the way, I'm not going to tell you, but when you come for the premiere, there's going to be a joke about you where we call you Fire Crotch, which is something that was a horrible thing that was said to you by
Brandon
Davis.
And relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and which made you feel awful back then. You hate when people say it over the intervening 10 or 12 years since it was said. But look, when you come to the movie and you're there and you don't know that it's going to be said, it's going to be said right there in front of you.
Man.
Is Tina Fey a mean girl? See, I never got that.
Tina Fey is a mean girl.
She is? Like, stop!
It's like millennials. Oh, you think this movie's yours? It's mine. No, it's not yours, Tina. You took it from a book. You screwed over the author by giving her like $50,000 or $75,000. And you said, you can't have anything to do with it from now on while you go ahead and make tens of millions of dollars from it.
Right.
So it wasn't yours. It wasn't your idea. It was a woman who wrote the book and you stole it from her. And Tina Fey, go watch 30 Rock now. Like, I challenge you guys to go watch 30 Rock this weekend. Just pick a random episode, and it will be the most racist show you've ever seen in your whole life.
Well, I remember.
And who wrote it? Tina Fey.
My husband and I were rewatching it just like a couple of years ago, and we noticed there were some episodes that were removed from streaming services because they had like blackface and stuff in them. And I was like, why don't I remember this from the beginning? It's just, I feel like you're right.
It's, I mean, it's just 30 Rock, like, if she wrote this, so Tracy Morgan also, I mean, has his issues, but, you know, she wrote this thing, like the Asian character named Ching Chong, who plays ping pong, and it's just, and if you watch Mean Girls, I mean, you can just tell that Tina Fey hates Asian people.
Wow. Okay. I also heard that she's in the running to replace Lorne Michaels at SNL.
Oh, 100%. I think she'll get the job.
Wow.
I do find her funny.
She is
funny. She's made me laugh so much over, like, I want her to do SNL. I don't like hearing that she's a mean girl, though. Ew.
She's a mean girl, and her best friend's a mean girl. Look, if you look, so you've got Tina Fey, Amy Poehler teamed up. Amy Poehler, mean girl.
No.
Okay? Because Amy Poehler didn't do anything, didn't say anything about Louis C.K. She continues to give him support, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to give Louis C.K. support and whatever, and she's like, no, I'm going to give him a job and all this, and he's my best friend and stuff like that. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, look at how SNL is divided, okay? Do you ever see Adam Sandler or his group of people do anything with Tina Fey and her group of people? No.
Yeah, no.
Never.
right? So you don't see, you see Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Seth Meyers, that kind of thing. They do their stuff. And then you have Spade and, you know, Adam Sandler and even like people like Rob Schneider, who a lot of people hate, but, you know, Adam Sandler's like, no, he's my boy.
Yeah.
And we're all united in this hate against Tina Fey. So we'll just stick together.
Chris Rock, whatever. I have no idea.
You know what? Rachel Dratch has just entered the chat as well.
Oh, she did. What side is she on?
not the Mean Girls side, yeah. I'm assuming.
Can we talk about this idea of streaming farms? Because there's been some talk, like Tate McRae, who obviously we love very much because she's local, but also the fact that she's had this crazy success over the last few months. People are like, oh, they're using streaming farms, like she's an industry plant, blah, blah, blah. Is this a practice that record labels use?
She is an industry plant.
She is.
You know, you can always tell when somebody like, also know, you know, they're like adding Drake and stuff, and you're like, do you even know him? I know, you know, he's Canadian, like you, but do you even really know him? Here's how you can tell if something is done from a streaming farm. Okay. If you, and you know, Rolling Stone has this feature, and I think you have to pay, but you can tell those, it has a graphic about what the top cities are from who's listening to a song. Okay. And you should expect to see things like Los Angeles, New York, or if you're in Canada, Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, right? Mm-hmm. You should expect those. If you see Moose Jaw or you see, you know, something like that, you go, wait, how is that the number one streaming city? There's like 5,000 people who live there. Mm-hmm. And when you look at like Tate McRae or whatever, you see Montana, you see Juneau, Alaska, you see whatever. It's because there's bot farms there. and that's how you can usually tell. But the reason that the labels use bot farms, and they use them for all artists.
Yeah.
But it's more prevalent when it's somebody like Tate McRae, who's new, right? So if you have Cardi B or something like that, they use bot farms like crazy, but you'll still see the number one cities being New York and Los Angeles and stuff like that, just because the sheer volume of people.
Yeah.
But with like Tate McRae, you'll see these little tiny towns. And the reason that they do this is so people have this hive mentality where, oh my gosh, there's been 15 million people who listen to the song. I should listen to this song.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing that Netflix does. Oh, this was the number one streaming movie this week. No, it really wasn't. But, you know, it gets people go, oh my gosh, this is the number one streaming movie. Oh, I should watch this. And it's just that kind of thing. And then some people make it from that and some people don't. But it's also this churn and burn mentality, because back in the day when albums, let's say, and, you know, the labels are like, okay, we're going to give these people like $500,000, $1 million to go make an album and to go on tour and all this. It's a huge investment.
Right.
And so they were very careful about how they doled out those dollars. And nowadays it's like, you know, it doesn't cost anything to get it done. And maybe we'll make a lot of money. Maybe we won't. We'll get some bot farms in this. It doesn't cost very much. And so we'll create some people like Lizzo and Latto and Ice Spice and Sexy Red and all of this kind of stuff.
I love Sexy Red so much.
Then you have people like Taylor Swift say, oh, you know, I need somebody to use this week. Okay, let me have Ice Spice. You know, and I'm not, you know, pointing out Taylor for that. I'm just saying, like, everybody does it. They say, oh, who's the person that we're supposed to be using this week? And let's make something. And if you go back and you look at like Taylor's like last album, go look at, you know, the features and you go, where are any of those people now? You know, where's B.O.B. now? You know, it's those kind of things.
Are you saying that it's kind of an ecosystem, but still somewhat based on merits?
It's based on if you can get beyond the industry plant part.
Right.
Like if Lizzo somehow comes up and has like an album of her own that does really, really well, and she gets beyond that, then she can be the person. You know, I think that, like, Dua Lipa, right? She's a person who, okay, let's take a chance. We're not going to invest a whole bunch of money. But, like, Dua came around, and she did a couple of features, and then she moved beyond that. And now, look, she's huge. So it's just, but you couldn't ever do that before. What you would have before, you'd have one-hit wonders.
Right.
That would be a thing. And sometimes you even had industry plants back then, but it wasn't as often. Like the song, like Rico Suave from back in the day.
Wow,
hell yeah. So that guy worked for the record label, and they just had this song, and they said, well, we don't want to give it to anybody. Just, will you just record it? And they go, sure. And so, you know, but he worked for the record label.
Oh, interesting.
But that didn't happen, you know, like it does now. Now it's just like, yeah, let's just give somebody $50,000 and, you know, let's make a song. And if it does well, it does well. You know, we're not investing huge numbers into it. And then maybe we'll convince Taylor to do a song with somebody and we can sell some more stuff. So it's just a churn and burn. Like, they just go through these people. And 10 years from now, you go, Ice Spice. Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Wow. It's also fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Anty, what you are known for, your world famous celebrity blinds. What do you got for us this week?
I was going to do an Ice Spice one, and now I've mentioned her like 10 times, so I got to think of a different one.
I'm Anty. All I do is talk about Ice Spice all the time.
Do one on Sexy Red.
You know what? You could still do it on Ice Spice, and we still wouldn't come up with the right answer.
We wouldn't know.
Well, you would, because I call her frozen flavoring, so it's not that difficult.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, I got one. I always talk about it on here. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. So there is this A-minus list singer, and she has a significant other, and they're supposedly very hot and heavy and serious, very, very serious. And she's like, you know, if you want to do a threesome or something, I'm totally open to it.
Interesting.
And he's like, yeah, let's do that. But the thing is, she wants a third to be a woman, and he wants a third to be a guy.
Oh,
well, that throws a dynamic in, doesn't it?
Interesting. A-minus singer with a boyfriend.
Yeah, you guys, you probably play her every day, but maybe not more than, like, once a day.
Okay.
Mm. Oh. And she's been, we have talked about her before. You guys know who she is. Everybody knows. Everybody in the world knows who she is, even though she's A-minus list.
A-minus.
Interesting.
List.
Okay.
A-minus list is always such a tricky category because
It is a tricky category. It's a very tricky category. And honestly, she should, if she wasn't as well known as she is, she probably would be like B-plus list because she hasn't had a hit for quite some time.
Oh. Was she ever A-plus?
Even though all of you know. No, never A-plus.
Okay.
You know, A-plus is like Taylor. You know, you have to write your own songs and stuff like that. She's never really written her own songs.
Well, I almost said Ariana Grande, but then I remembered that
exactly
she's A-plus list for sure.
Ariana is probably A-plus list. I mean, anybody, you know, I would maybe say like A-list or something like that. That's kind of, I would go more with A-list with Ariana because she doesn't really write her own songs or anything like that.
Okay, well, I don't
know.
It's
not easy,
as
always. It's not Ice Spice.
Is it Ice Spice?
No, it's Sexy Red.
No, but it's somebody who's been around like since they were a teenager.
Hellcats, SRTs.
All right, Anty.
I mean, actually, and they were around actually before they were teenagers, so there you go.
Okay, well, thanks for that and everything else, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, you guys. Have a great week.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.